Hello, I'm Marie Sneeman, a journalist devoted to uncovering new ways to understand ourselves, deepen our relationships, and strengthen our emotional well-being. I appreciate your tuning into Calm, Clear and Helpful, the weekly podcast series showcasing wellness professionals who offer their expertise and assistance. Today's topic is my journey with Meniere's, managing anxiety, vertigo and tinnitus. If severe dizziness, tinnitus or fluctuating hearing loss affects you, or if you've been diagnosed with Meniere's disease, this podcast episode should resonate with you. I trust it will deepen your understanding and expand the tools you have at your disposal for managing your health. The wellness professional I'm talking to is Martsy Dreyer, counseling psychologist from Johannesburg. Welcome back on the show, Martsy.
Hi. Hello, Mariet. It's good to be back.
Thank you. Martsy, I invited you because I know more than one person who has been diagnosed with Meniere's disease. And you are a psychologist who has your own experience of that. So I was very grateful when you said you would be willing to speak to me about that and tell us how your journey meandered and how you make sense and navigate this journey.
Yes, Marie, that was a tough road, it's still a tough road. It was 2010. I fell ill with a virus infection. But together with that, there was a lot of pressure at work and from a personal point of view. And I think I also landed up in a burnout situation. Obviously, I got treatment for the virus infection. But when I start to get better, I notice changes in my hearing. It feels as if I had loss of hearing. And I didn't pay a lot of attention to it. My thoughts was, well, this is the virus. I still need to recover from the virus and the burnout. And then I will be good as new. But the hearing didn't come back. I battled to, when people speak to me, and especially in training, I did group training sessions at that stage, I realized that I can't locate. If somebody asked me a question, I could not locate where it's coming from. Is it from my back? Front is obvious. you look at the people and you saw the lips is moving, but when it's from my back or the sides, I couldn't allocate whether it's my right, where's my left. Back and then I started to realize I have a problem. But okay, if it's hearing, not a problem. We can do something about it. And then I started what I called at that stage, the strange spells. I got tinnitus, I got vertigo, coupled with nausea. And I find that I couldn't walk a straight line. I remember in the workplace, in the offices where I was working at that particular time, there was this beautiful red pot plants and a passage. And time and again, I bumped into the pot plants. And now the whole thing was becoming extremely embarrassing because it typically looked as if I was drunk.
Goodness.
So the hearing took me then to a audiologist, and she said then I need to see a specialist. And I landed up with this amazing man, Professor Hammersma. At that point in time, he was 80 or past 80. but still practicing. So after a long period of time, going through many assessments related to my hearing loss, but also other type of assessments where they brought on the vertigo, and I had an MRI, a brain scan to rule out possibility of tumors. And it took 5 years before they could say with certainty that I have Meniere's disease. So I also consulted the Prof. Vink. I remember he was at Pretoria University, because it's, for me, it was just, it was not acceptable. It was it's not possible. I can't do this. What about my job? What about my children? What about my household? What about friends? What about everything? And it was really, really a chaotic. It was an extremely chaotic time in my life. And then 2015, it was for certain. It's Meniere's. And then we started to look at various options for treatment. But the prof was amazing. And he discussed with me, I remember a discussion where he told me that it's not a fact. And he also said it's not a fact, but Van Gogh, this wonderful artist, also had Meniere's. And so I started to read up. He gave me a lot of reading material and articles, scholarly articles, etc., etc. And there was really nothing that we could do at that particular stage. We treated the vertigo. I took same tablets for motion illness. Today there is something on the market specifically for Meniere's, but it wasn't there in 2010 when I was troubled with that. So it was a time where I started to withdraw from functions. From I realized that I couldn't do training anymore, group training. I stopped that. Luckily, I could continue with the other section of my work. Seeing individuals, individual discussions was more tolerable, but the headaches and the anxiety, this is now additional symptoms that I realize is causing problems, severe headaches. So the combination of the headaches, your physical well-being as well, the realization that you now have to change your whole lifestyle, took me to a period where I experienced a lot of depressive symptoms. Luckily, being a psychologist helped me at that stage, because I could, to a certain extent, realize my own emotional responses and try to manage that. But from a physical point of view, there was just darkness, you know. And at a stage, the prof said the only thing which was left was to cut, to do a, I'm not 100% sure about the medical terms, and this is not really my interest. It was sort of make a cut in a nerve or something like that. But that mean then that you can't hear anything in the one ear. In my case, it started with the one ear, and then it also go through to the other ear. So if we look at then Meniere's disease, or what they also call Meniere's syndrome, is an inner ear disorder that affects the balance and hearing. The exact cause is not known, but it is thought to be related to a buildup of fluid in the inner ear. And this excess fluid can interfere with the signals responsible for hearing and balance. So the common symptoms is then episodes of severe dizziness or vertigo, a ringing sound in the ear, which is now tinnitus, fluctuating hearing loss, usually in one ear, but in my case, it's both ears. And then often a fullness or a pressure in the affected ears. Now, this is very strange. When they talk, I find it difficult to understand that thing because it feels as if it's just a pressure on my ear. And then the prof explained to me, it's a fullness in my ear. And then for 5 years, 6, 7 years, I really find it difficult to function properly. And luckily, I have very good friends around me. I didn't mention it to anybody in the workplace. It was important for me to be fully functional. That was a cognitive decision. And when I made that decision, I decided, okay, now you need to decide what are you going to do with it and how will you manage this thing. I think my personality traits helped me to fight the thing. I'm very stubborn. I don't easily give in to problems. I always called it a challenge. And I decided I need to find a way to deal with it. I have, and this is where my journey of discovery started, with the decision, this thing will not become my master. I'm still in charge of my own destiny. And what happened then is I started with a process of self-awareness. So I started to look at myself as if I am looking into a mirror. So, and I asked the questions to myself that I would have asked if it was, I am a client, I'm a patient. So it's really a discovery of self-awareness. What is going on in my body? What is going on in my head? And that was really, I think, the first step. And I started with, when I feel nauseous, I said, okay, what is going on? And I then realized that there was a spin. If, for example, if I turned my head and there was a slight movement, it was so slight and subtle, I wasn't aware in the beginning what was going on. But later on, I figured out that if I turn my head and it's just a subtle movement, it's moving, then I realized, okay, I probably will get vertigo now. So then the next was I check and I had tinnitus. Now, in my case, the tinnitus was very interesting. I have sometimes, tinnitus is a ringing sound. But what I discover, and that then is where my music, my background and music comes in. I realize that there's a high sound, as if you are on the higher notes on a piano, or there's a lower sound. And it sounds like a bus, when a bus, the whoo of a bus. I don't like that sound. But it's the lower tones on a piano also then. Now, that is a very, very important thing because at that point in time, there was for me a flickering of hope because, okay, I understand music. I studied music 4 years. Right. I can start to manage that by using my knowledge of music. And, yeah, that was my first sort of win in this process. But the spinning was a thing. And then the third thing that I realized, now I became worried because I am maybe in a shopping center or I sit with a client and I need to function and I get anxious. So these things trigger anxiety. I was at that stage already vulnerable to anxiety because for 5 years I didn't know what's going on, what is next, will I be able to work? I have to work. I can't stop working. And what about my kids? How will I? it was just so messy. It was so messy. And everything feels like upside down. So then I said, okay, now I need to, first of all, you can control anxiety. You, Marzi, teach other people to control anxiety. So let's get to work. And I used then the different cognitive behavior therapy type of guidance to deal with my anxiety. Because if anxiety spike, if vertigo spike, and it did, and it is chaotic. It is chaotic. I remember I was in a training session in Durban, I think, and it was 3 day, and the second day, everything just became too much. Luckily, I had a very good colleague, and I guided the colleague then to take over from me. But that was for me, there was two very, very bad incidents. That was the one incident. The other incident was, again, very lucky. It was with a colleague of mine, and his sister have many eyes. And I told him, listen, Peter, this is the situation. This is happening right now to me. You have to stand in. And luckily, he's also a psychologist, and he has a full understanding of the symptoms of meniere, what he learned from his sister, and he could deal with it. So he continued the training, and I started to manage myself. So there was really challenging situations.
A quick note on what I do. In my 30 years as a journalist, I've seen how often people seeking health and wellness support feel unsure where to turn for providers who truly resonate with them. Through my articles and podcasts, I aim to offer reliable information while introducing audiences to trusted practitioners and resources. My platform, marietsneeman.co.za, brings together insights from more than 160 experts on physical and mental health, relationships, and parenting. You're welcome to use the search function or browse the site for relevant information. In fact, you can stream any podcast right there on my website, or listen to Calm, Clear, and Helpful on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms. If you're a wellness provider keen on expanding your reach and credibility, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. I offer a clearly structured process and journalistic insight to help you connect deeply with your audience. If you happen to be a first-time podcast guest, you'll feel prepared before we press record. You'll find more information under Services on my website, or simply send an email to mariette@marietsneeman.co.za. Thank you for listening to this episode. Now, let's get back to my guest.
So then there is also fear that if I walk, I will fall down. What will happen if I am so nauseous that I need to go to a toilet and there is no toilet to go to? How can you manage yourself where you are in a restaurant and you have a incident there? So as I continue, then I work out ways. For example, restaurants is always noisy. So I realize if I sit against the wall, or very close to a wall, not in the middle of a restaurant, then it's better. And it's also that I turn my back to the people. So I could do that with my husband because he knows what was going on. So that was easy. But when you go out, you know, work functions and this type of stuff, that was for me difficult. And I didn't often go to functions because of the situation. Yes.
Matsi, you have now described a really grueling journey and a journey of trial and error and self-discovery. I'm wondering, can you look back and identify a turning point in your journey with Meniere's?
Yes, I think the turning point, Mariette, for me was when I realized that from a medical perspective, they can't do anything for me. Because there was a lot of things that the medicine can do, but it is really severe actions. And I realized that this condition must be managed by myself, and I must work out how to. And it took me a couple of years to understand and learn to manage the symptoms. And if I say years, it's not, it was really trial and error, although I have the music inside. I decided music can help because earlier in my years I was very interested in music therapy and having a degree, the studies in music, and then from music I go into psychology, becoming a psychologist, and I decide, well, I need to make it work. This condition can't win me. So my approach, and what I will share with you then, is really is from, I hate the word patient, as from a client point of view and from a psychologist point of view, not from a medical point of view. I'm not, and I want to say it again, I'm not a medical doctor. I don't speak from that point. I only highlight medical related points as it was communicated to me via the medical professions.
Yes.
Professionals. So then I started to read up and try to find directions from psychologists, but I could not find one single psychologist working with Meniere's. And I also then sort of work hand in hand with an audiologist. She explained to me what was going on and why the losses in hearing. But this is again where it stopped. Nobody could help me with the psychological symptoms and also dealing with the hearing loss in a sensible manner without feeling very, very embarrassed, managing the nausea in a proper way so that I do not land up in a situation where I need to go to the bathroom. Then I said to myself, okay, there's no cure. Medical interventions is not an option. The side effects is not great. And I started to look at the triggers. What triggered the anxiety? And I started sort of that was easy for me to identify when I am anxious. And then I realized, together with that, is a headache of note. And the more the headache, the more it started to trigger the vertigo. And I was feeling hot, my ears was feeling hot, and I started to focus on these symptoms. And then the first thing was then, okay, let's deal with anxiety. And I used certain techniques, well known to psychologists, to start to manage the anxiety, because I know the anxiety was coming from this fear of being silly, being observed as drunk, etc., etc. So I realized then, if I can manage my anxiety, I can now start to focus on the other things and sort of get rid of them And if I say get rid of, I say it in brackets. You cannot get rid of them. It's always there, or most of the time you can manage it. And when I observe a spinning, I immediately took tablets for that. I'm not going to name what I'm using because this is not my field of expertise. So then that helped. But there is also a ceiling. If these symptoms go beyond a certain point, you can't stop it anymore. So it's very important to, once it's there, you need to stop it. You immediately, you stop what you are doing and you start to focus on yourself. You make sure that you relax, deal with your anxiety, and then also the spinning was more difficult to deal with because the world is spinning. So what I learned, I remove myself out of, if there's a lot of people, I go outside and I start to breathe. I do breathing exercises and then I focus on one thing. For example, if there's a car, I focus on the car, or I focus on trees or flowers. I love gardening. So I focus on trees and I stand. I must make sure that I stand with my back against a wall or a pillar, but I must touch it. I must physically touch something. And now you don't focus on the spinning. You focus on your breathing. You focus on the object, what you are looking at, and you start to calm down yourself. So this is what I do there. And then there's the tinnitus. Now, the tinnitus, that was sometimes another thing to start to manage, because how the hell do you manage tinnitus? And this is where the music comes in very, very handy. So I started by playing around with, I really make this thing my, currently, it's difficult to explain, I call it a thing that I play with. I'm not angry anymore. I'm not anxious anymore. I play with it. I said, okay, this is now a high sound. Where is it on the piano? a 3 octave above middle C. Okay, this is very high. Okay, I must find something to counter that. So I love classical music. And I definitely don't say classical music is the only genre that you must use. No, 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 no. If you hate classical music, please, you will cause other problems like frustration. So what I did then, I listened to Beethoven's violin concerto. And there's long passages where the violin is playing beautiful high notes, and then I find it becomes a counter. It's sort of a counter effect for the tinnitus. I remember there was a situation in Bloemfontein. I worked there, and the people had a party or a thing, and you know, this doof, 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 the bass, the drums, and I have tinnitus. It's crazy. The things, all the noises in your head was terrible. And in my case, I sometimes realize that I have a combination sound. It's two sounds that I hear in one ear, or then in both, one in one ear, another one in the other, you know. It's, for example, la, la. So, with the ringing, this, it was terrible. Anyway, what I did then, I find a piece of music to counter the bass. Now, the bass has a rhythm, a particular rhythm. Don't find something like that. You find a calm thing, but also with lower frequencies. So I play around with that, and that turned out to be very effective. So currently, I think I feel really in control of it. It is for me, as you know, it's the second time that we try to do this. When I speak about it, when I speak about my journey, I still get anxious. And when the anxiety comes, I feel out of control.
Yes, I so respect you for that, Martsy, that despite the emotional response which one must have to this limitation and loss of freedom, that you still are determined to speak about it.
I don't know what to say about that, Mariette. I think, and I was playing around for a very long time to do something to get the information out, because it is not an easy thing. And medical practitioners, also audiologists, don't necessarily have the answers. And in this, managing this type of syndrome, it's definitely not one for all. It's very personal. It's very deep-seated, the insecurities around it. And I can honestly say I never will get rid of it. But over the years, I learned to manage it comfortably. And there were situations where where we have invitations to dinner, for dinner with friends, and I have to cancel. Luckily, when you realize that it's now here with you, it already come for a day or two, and then it's as if it's flaring up and burst out. And this is where we need to start. We must learn the signals, the very, very first signals, and knit it in the bud. And then your life is really, really as good as normal. There are stuff that I can't do. I can't do training anymore, not at all. And I learn to lip read. So in meetings, I do lip read. And you sit with your... I always sit with my back to where the light is coming from, so that I can see the person's mouth moving. Difficult when... men have moustaches because men's tone of voice is lower than the woman. And if you look at the audiograph of Minnie Hare's, it's different to normal loss of hearing. So once you understand that, again, you need to listen carefully. I do have hearing aids, and it makes really a difference. But in noisy environments, I take it out because the noise becomes too much for me. And literally that can trigger anxiety because it's sort of, it's too much. And also another challenge is the ladies at the till or the guys at the till, I often find difficult to hear them. I try to lip read, but they don't look directly at you. So there are definitely situations, but I don't feel embarrassed anymore. I will just say, can you please speak up? I can't hear. So this is another thing, to learn not to feel embarrassed. And I often use humor to deal with it. Not long ago, one of my colleagues, she was speaking quite softly. And when I asked her the third time to speak up, she said to me, "Are you deaf?" And I said, "Yes, I am deaf." And I lifted my, I showed her my hearing aids. Shame, she feels so embarrassed. But we had a good laugh, and that was it. Mm. So I often use humor. You need to learn to laugh at yourself.
Mm. Thank you, Martsy. I don't really have the words to say how I appreciate your... One always says speaking from the heart, but this is a combination of speaking from the heart after having given it a lot of thought. So thank you very, very much. And may this inspire many, not only with Meniere's, but so many people who have to deal with chronic illnesses and limitations. Thank you, Martsy.
Thank you very much.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. If this episode struck a chord with you, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for free podcasts and articles on physical and mental health, romantic relationships, parenting, and navigating life's transitions. To follow me on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariet Sneeman Journalist. The weekly podcast series Calm, Clear, and Helpful is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms. It's hosted and produced by me, with original music by Mart-Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.